Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Good Saturday morning. Wow. It's a chance to tune out, a chance to rest, a chance to enjoy. No more politics. I mean, we went through the two conventions and oh my goodness. But in this case, the stakes are too great to ignore. We're going to talk politics today. We're going to help you sort through the platforms between the Democrats and the Republicans. Find the one that aligns best with your values. We're not endorsing one over the other, but we are endorsing you voting your values. All right, I'm joined by my colleague, business partner, and friend of 35 years, the amazing Mike Carter. Mike, how are you this morning?
Great. Good to be here on a Saturday morning to talk about comparing the platforms, because I'm finding it's harder and harder to find truth as you start to look at what's going on out there.
Yeah, you know, well, there's a new movie out this weekend that takes us back, you know, 44 years back to 1980, actually before that. But when President Reagan, that was the first presidential election I got to vote in. And President Reagan, back in 1980, he won in a landslide. In the summer, it looked very tight, the race between President Carter and President Reagan, then candidate Reagan, former governor. But now here we are, and new movie's out. We hosted a special event on this movie, Economic War Room, Pirate Money Radio, Liberty Hawk Ranch. We had some celebrities come in. I interviewed John Voight. Patriot Mobile helped sponsor it. It's just a wonderful time. That was a great movie, wasn't it?
It was a great movie. We got to see the preliminary of that several years ago, and the fact that it's coming out now, and we've talked about this before on the radio, on the show, is perfect timing, though, to really understand where we were back then, a lot of the parallels now today, and why this election really does matter.
That election was about communism. This election may be about communism as well, as we'll get into when we get into the platform. But I'd like to start off with a Bible verse from the New King James, Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and a curse. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. We have a choice today. God set before us a choice, Democrat or Republican party platforms. And normally you'd say, hey, you know, it's a uniparty. They're all the same. This is not a uniparty moment. They are starkly different campaigns. And you know, we're going to have to make a choice, voter values, and Jesus expects that. Don't be lukewarm. Remember what he said about lukewarm. I'll spit you out.
You get spit out. And, yeah. And the contrast does seem so obvious right now. I don't know, you know, I can't think of another political time looking at both conventions where the differences were as big as they are. And there's a part of me as I look at it, I'm just like, I can't even believe this is happening in real life today.
Yeah, no, and if you want to draw a comparison, I mean, people say, it's the uniparty, it's all the same. Well, it's gotten different this time, especially. And so question, are we on the right track or the wrong track as a nation? You think in your personal economic situation, your personal family situation, your faith and all of that, are we on the right track or wrong track as a nation? And keep in mind that Democrats have controlled the White House for 12 of the last 16 years. Republicans, I'll say, controlled it for 3 years, and then Anthony Fauci controlled it for one.
That's a good way to look at it. What's so different about, I think, the list now versus back in the 80s was we saw an evangelical movement, and it was kind of popular to be a Christian even back then. Today, it's almost the opposite of that. And if you have those values, you're looked down upon, or you're told to be looked down
upon.
I
don't think the American people look down on, but I think the media does tell us to look down on a Christian worldview. Hey, it's right now the polling shows that Harris has surged. Biden's dropped out despite a debate in which Trump just trounced him and an assassination attempt on Trump that the whole world saw and he survived. It looked like a miracle that he survived. The polls say that she surged. Do you believe those polls?
I go back to the facts. I have not heard her platform or policies. I see how she responds on camera, how she speaks. I don't know how you can believe the polls unless there's a part of the electorate that just doesn't care, and it's just, okay, I'm on this side, so I'm going to vote for her, and it doesn't matter what the policies are.
There's a lot of anti-Trump out there.
Yeah, they got that.
Yeah, all right. So to understand the difference between the platforms of the two parties, FRC Action put out a great video. I think they did a nice job of being objective. FRC is Family Research Council. They clearly have a Christian worldview, but I think they took a real objective perspective on it. Let's play a clip that shows the party differences from some Christian issues.
Election day is approaching fast. It's time again to compare the platforms of our nation's two major political parties. On matters of life, Democrats support women's access to abortions and oppose government action curtailing that access. Republicans oppose abortion, advocating banning abortions after 20 weeks, prohibiting tax dollars from paying for abortions, and supporting a human life constitutional amendment. Democrats say nothing about marriage and family being the bedrock of society, while Republicans uphold the nuclear family as the foundation of society and define marriage as between one man and woman. On religious liberty, Democrats reject broad religious exemptions for businesses, medical providers, and social service agencies. Republicans define religious liberty broadly and condemn efforts to censor faith-based speech. On sex and gender issues, Democrats support an act to outlaw discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Republicans also affirm every American's right to be treated with dignity without discrimination, but oppose ongoing attempts to harm the individual's rights of conscience. Democrats oppose conscience rights in health care, condemning the Trump administration for allowing doctors to practice medicine in accordance with their conscience. Republicans support the conscience rights of doctors, nurses, and pharmacists, as well as the rights of parents to determine the right treatments and therapies for their minor children. The Democratic platform says nothing about God in government, while Republicans enshrine our constitutional rights as God-given and inalienable. Lastly, regarding the Supreme Court, Democrats vow to appoint justices who will enforce activist precedents, like Roe versus Wade. But Republicans support appointing justices who respect traditional family values and seek to enable the courts to reverse activist decisions. These are all important issues facing the nation, meaning the R or D next to the name on the ballot is important too. Now that you know the difference between the major parties' platforms, what will you choose to do?
As I lay before you a choice, if you don't want God in government, you should definitely vote Democrat. If you want God in government, you should vote Republican. Now, I know what I think our audience feels, but again, vote your values. This is your opportunity to stand up. This is what a republic, we're hiring our representatives via democratic means. It's an opportunity. We're going to cover three areas of evaluation of the platforms: liberty, security, and values. We talk about them all the time. Liberty meaning economic issues primarily, but personal issues. Security meaning how do we protect the nation best, and values would be the social issues, which that FRC clip kind of covered.
Yeah, you know, you look at that, there's not a lot of middle ground there. It's pretty much black and white in terms of what each party believes. But what's amazing to me is when I hear the percent of Christians that might not even vote this year.
Oh, it's frightening. And that they're the ones that get spewed out, mm-hmm. right? God has called us to be active citizens. The king of this nation is we the people.
Yeah.
And we the people are supposed to determine. And if we just silently go along, it doesn't really matter. I was told that 20 years ago. I don't believe it's true at all. The Uniparty is not a real thing. Especially with Trump taking the Republican Party in bold new areas. And Kamala Harris, I think, was the most liberal senator in the Senate by nonpartisan surveys.
Yeah.
They've torn that off the website. They've really remade her in the media. But she is no question about the most liberal. And if you're liberal and you want a liberal president, then you should absolutely vote for her. But if you want a different approach to government, I think you've got a stark contrast.
If you care about liberty, security, and values, that makes a difference. And you might not agree with the personality of a Trump, or even that of a Biden or of a Harris, but it's important that as Christians we get out and vote.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. Look past the cackling, the laughter. I mean, it grates on me, but look past that to see what she actually stands for. And if she stands for what you believe literally, then vote for her. I mean, first woman president, that'd be exciting. But if you disagree with the things that she stands for, and you may well, then you should vote Republican this year. Voting matters. We're going to study liberty, security, and values in detail, and we're going to talk about what the platforms show and we'll be right back after a break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and the co-host Mike Carter joins me, and we're going to talk about the party platforms. What is at stake in this November election? We see three areas for evaluation: liberty, security, and values. We'll walk through those and compare what a Harris presidency would look like versus a second term for a Trump presidency. Mike, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, we talk economic liberty all the time, and certainly that's one when I start to look at these policies, or at least what I think the policies are on the Democrat side versus the policies on the Republican side. Economic liberty is very clearly on the Republican side at this point.
Well, yeah, if you believe in individual liberty, but if you believe in corporatism or if you believe in collectivism, which a surprising number of young people believe in socialism these days, you know, your socialist candidate is going to be Kamala Harris. There's no doubt. Yeah, in fact, her tax policy, Kamalanomics, it's pretty clear that she is for higher taxes. In Pennsylvania, for example, she wants a combined state and federal corporate tax of 34%, which would be higher than most nations of the world. She's endorsed $5 trillion of tax hikes, according to Americans for Tax Reform. She wants wealth tax, meaning that if you're worth more than $100 million, they'll take unrealized capital gains. You buy a stock, it's gone up. Even before you sell it and take the money out, the government will take their part, 25% of any unrealized capital gains. That's a stark difference with the Trump approach.
So if it's just paper money, they're going to say, well, it's still worth this much, so you owe this much in taxes. Even though you've not sold it, it could go down dramatically the next year.
Yeah, well, that happens actually in the House with property taxes, and it's just shocking to me every time I do. Well, your house is worth this much money. It's like, no, where'd you come up with that? Well, they just guess.
Yeah.
And they would be doing that, or they'd be looking at the stock market. But yeah, stock prices go up and down. Can you imagine in 1929 if they took a quarter of your wealth away and then the stock market crashed and you couldn't even afford to pay the tax the next year?
So maybe we just give everything away to the government, because I heard the new vice president candidate, he said socialism is just being a good neighbor.
Yeah, just like a good neighbor. Yeah. I thought State Farm was a good neighbor.
Yeah.
State Farm should be free then, right?
Yeah.
All right. So
that's not happening. I've seen some of my insurance bills, but
Yeah, if you're going to be a good neighbor, it costs you money, I guess. All right. So the plan that she wants to put into place, and by the way, they've been in charge 12 of the last 16 years. The Democrat, Obama, Biden, Harris have been in charge for 12 of the last 16 years. Do you like the way things are going? And we had a brief uptick during the Trump years where the economy got more individual liberty driven, and then COVID hit.
I saw during the Democratic convention a few weeks back, the CNN contributor called the other host out on that when they started talking about how bad things were. He says, well, you got to remember who's been in charge the last 12 to 16 years. And they were basically speechless on that one.
Yeah. And Trump, really, I said this in the first segment, Trump was in charge for 3 years and Anthony Fauci was in charge for one, because COVID hit. We shut everything down. And, it grates on me, the dishonesty, the lack of integrity, to compare. When we had the entire economy shut down, people told they could not go to work, and we were shuffling money out of the Treasury as rapidly as we could. And then Biden says, look how I've improved things. And he goes back to that period of the deepest, darkest moments of COVID. The policies that they would have endorsed and actually gone even further on had they, more masks, more shutdowns, more schools closed. And yet they're claiming, they're blaming Trump for that. And they're saying, look how we've improved things. And it's just the natural resurgence of the economy after the pandemic subside.
I had friends with small businesses that were almost literally shut down because they were told they were not necessary. And, they see Home Depot and Lowe's and the grocery stores open, but they're not able to sell anything. Exactly. And yet they can't operate. That's not a fair economic policy. I'm not even sure. Well, it's certainly not being a good neighbor.
Yeah. Well, let's look at the regulations, the regulatory costs. I just saw this. Addition to regulatory costs during the first term of three administrations, which would be Obama, added $25,582 to regulatory costs, the typical American family during his first term. Trump, during his first term, actually reduced our regulatory costs, $10,814. And the Biden-Harris team has added almost $50,000 in
double Obama costs. And Trump was down. He actually reduced it. And we've talked so much about what that regulation means in terms of average working Americans. If there wasn't regulation, what the incomes would be and all that kind of stuff. That's another great indicator. Do you want more regulation? Do you want more burden put on your ability to make a living? Or do you want less?
Yeah, well, and they're two different, very vastly different approaches. One is lots of regulation, government tells you what to do. The other one is you have more liberty and you decide what to do. And some people want that. They want the government, you know, some people wanted to mask up, shut down, not go to work. So it's a choice.
But we know with regulation, that usually means less innovation. And so that usually means less economic activity.
Yeah, well, I met President Reagan. It's in the episode we did on Economic War Room, where we're talking about the new movie Reagan, which is out. Go see it. We're not supposed to tell you what to do. Do what you want to do. If you want more information, go to Reagan.movie. That's what you should do. Go to Reagan. It's an amazing film. Well, I met President Reagan, and I congratulated him on what he did for the economy. And he said, all I did was get government out of the way so you good people could grow our economy again. Personal favorite, President Reagan.
Yeah, and a guy that was a class act and all that he did and trying to bring people together.
All right, so let's talk about some different other liberty issues dealing with the economy. Climate change. Is it a good idea to mandate all electric vehicles, that you can't drive a gas-powered car? That is a Biden-Harris Green New Deal initiative. She's in favor of the Green New Deal. She said it. She said that she wants to ban fracking absolutely until she denied it. But it's, you know.
Well, they got six charging stations installed this term. So
for billions of dollars.
So yeah, and so if we're going to mandate electric cars, at least we know they got the six charging stations added.
Yeah, so that is one approach, which is the Green New Deal. We're going to ban fracking, although she denies it because she wants to win Pennsylvania. On the other side of it, you've got Trump saying drill, drill, drill. And there's a beautiful article by Jason Isaac, who's been on Economic War Room show. He's a friend. He calls himself mm-hmm. living a high carbon lifestyle, and he believes that's good for the planet. And he wrote about the Trump policy is to maximize the development of our natural resources.
Absolutely. And look at how much of an impact just cheaper energy can make for people. I mean, I look at my utility bills and what's happening there. Those are significant increases in less than 2 years' time. And it's all preventable if we go back to sourcing cheap sources of energy, being smart about it, making sure we have a clean climate and all that kind of stuff still. But certainly policies that promote economic liberty versus policies that are all about scarcity, restriction, and quite honestly, control.
Speaking of control, there's a control issue, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. The Biden administration had talked to John Deere and Tractor Supply, you know, two middle America companies, into adopting DEI, and they had to back away from it because their customers and their shareholders and just the general public hated those DEI policies. Both of them have had back.
Yeah, and we saw the same thing with Harley Davidson. A typical Harley Davidson rider is not does not necessarily fit this green energy profile person. Yet their leadership was taking it down that path. And I saw they just spoke up. They've backed away from DEI, and now their challenge is But what does your president and CEO really believe? Is he a true believer, or is he just doing this for purposes of trying to protect his brand now?
This is a top-down push from the government to get everybody to conform to DEI or ESG. ESG is bad. It's built around really progressive leftist policies. But if that's your gig, if that's what you like, vote for that. That would be a Harris.
But make sure you understand what ESG is, because a lot of people still don't understand what that is.
Well, it's environment, social governance, which is environment is Green New Deal. Social is, literally quota systems for boards and employment and so forth. And governance is the same thing. bottom line is a progressive grab bag. But included in there are all these World Economic Forum ideas, like you'll own nothing and be happy, a total takeover of the healthcare system, which Kamala Harris has spoken about that she wants to do that, the lockdown policies, canceling by your bank. If they don't like your politics on something, if you say the wrong thing on the internet, they'll cancel you. And then, of course, the big one is central bank digital currencies.
That's a big one. But every one of those scares me in a big way. So those are important topics that take away our liberty, that won't allow you to have the freedom that we're used to in this country, and things that we've got to really make sure we understand and make sure that those in the community that we're talking to understand what's at stake here.
All right. And I'm going to have to run through these fast from the liberty standpoint because they're big differences. Food. Do you believe the World Economic Forum and you should eat bugs and less meat?
Can I just say no on that real quick?
Yeah. So it's the ESG nightmare, the targeting of farmers and ranchers in America's heartland. That's from Breitbart. That would be a policy that the Harris administration would push. Trade policy, they are literally supporting nations that I think will harm our manufacturing base and financialization. They'll say otherwise in the rhetoric. Nobody's dealing with a national deficit, not Trump. Not Harris, but it's been worse under President Biden than it was under Trump, despite what they would tell you. And then let's get down to inflation. Harris says she wants price controls. And, you know, even Washington Post called her out for that. They said, when your opponent calls you communist, maybe you shouldn't call for price controls.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a brilliant article. And in spending, Wall Street Journal called out Harris for voting. She tie-breaking votes that caused inflation. The Wall Street Journal said it, that she broke the tie on multiple issues as the vice president that have created for us inflation. And now we've got to get down to the last thing is she a communist? Her father was clearly a Marxist economist. And that even Snopes said that, you know, U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris's father was a Marxist economist. Snopes asked that question. He put the check mark and said, absolutely true. That's Snopes.
Well, you just got to listen to what she says. And it certainly aligns with probably what you would have heard from a father that believed in those philosophies.
Yeah. Well, Tim Walz is scary too, as the vice presidential candidate, the governor of Minnesota, all his trips to China. We'll talk about a few of these things. Bottom line is on the liberty economics, you know, we believe in pirate money, which is an individual liberty kind of thing, to where you can transact in gold and silver and you have the ability to give, spend, and invest according to your values. So we're going to need to take a break. But when we come back, we'll be talking more about liberty, security, and values and the differences between the Democrat and the Republican platform. We'll be right back after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
You know, there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And we talk about liberty, security, and values, and we are now contrasting the Democrat platform versus the Republican platform for what may be the most single most important election of our lifetimes. It's not a uniparty anymore. It is two starkly different approaches to government that will impact you, every area and aspect of your life. And we were just wrapping up on the difference between Harris, Walz, and Trump, Vance. And I just want to bring one thing up. I saw on Fox News, Fox Business News, Tim Walz on China. Did you see that?
I did, and shocking.
Taught English. Tim Walz taught English in China and speaks Mandarin, ran a business taking students to China, spent his honeymoon in China, told Trump to end trade war with China, and served on the Congressional Executive Commission on China. And his students have come out who traveled with him. I think he took something like 30 trips to communist China, and his students came out and said, there's no doubt he's a true believer. He was always buying this little red book. He said to give them as gifts. I saw him buy at least a dozen on the trip. He's a Maoist to the core and should not be underestimated. Those are quotes from students that he took from Minnesota to China.
But yet he decided to focus on his assistant coach role instead of that role. You know, he had the football players out there. He didn't have the red books and that dialogue going at the convention.
No, they're covering up the fact that, you know, Bernie Sanders honeymooned in Moscow, and he's admittedly a socialist. Tim Walz honeymooned in China, and he's been called a Maoist, right? And it is, I would say he's, you know, well, Senator Harris was to the left of Bernie Sanders in the independent ratings. So this is an administration that I think we can fairly say will support more communism, and Trump administration, I think, would be more capitalism. In fact, they say they don't like there's quotes that we have where it says, here's a quote about Kamala Harris's father. The claim is true. Taking a closer look at Harris's work in the economic school of thought he professed, we were able to confirm that he inscribed himself in Marx's intellectual tradition. Harris was preoccupied with exploitation and other concepts that came directly from Karl Marx's theory of capital. He argued the problem was capitalism. In this sense, Harris was indeed Marxist in his thinking.
Well, you look at all these issues, and the one thing that gives me some feeling of comfort is we have a pirate money solution. I hope that my candidate is in my mind right now wins. But if not, what we've been talking about on this show, on this radio episode, all of our radio episodes, pirate money, transactional gold and silver, allowing for economic liberty. If some of these things come around
at the state
level,
another
link. Yeah, at the state level.
At the state level. That's a part of federalism, and that's a check and balance that we have against an overarching federal government. And I think federalism could heal a nation. There's an article I found here in The Blaze. Federalism could heal a nation. Let's talk the next issue, though, security, border policy. Harris, Walz versus Trump, Vance. Where do you see the differences?
Well, as it relates to border policy, we had a border policy, and with one administration under Trump, and with the Biden-Harris administration, it appears we had no border policy.
No. But she was the czar.
Yes.
She was the czar until the media told us she wasn't the czar. I mean, they told us over and over, borders are, borders are, borders are, and then they said, no, that wasn't true.
Yeah.
But it absolutely was. And if you want a stark difference between the two parties, here is Breitbart, reshaping the electorate, Biden-Harris administration granting citizenship at the fastest rate in a decade. So they're letting people in, and they're granting citizenship as rapid as they can. Why? So they can vote. And, you know, this was a conspiracy theory. They're importing voters until it was in conspiracy reality.
Yeah. But, you know, then you'll hear from, you know, some in the Christian community, but we should open our borders to those in need.
Well, we did, and we've opened it according to thefederalist.com. The Biden-Harris administration's let in a lot of kids in Compassion, and they've lost 300,000 of them.
Wow.
You can't imagine they're being human trafficked or anything like that, right?
No, scary.
300,000 kids loose. All right, let's switch.
And the kids loose, but then we've got terrorists coming across as well, and there's nothing biblical about allowing the people in to do that.
Military age males. How compassionate is that? You know, we're in a people's war against China. They've declared it against us. We don't recognize it. They called it a people's war, and then they've sent military age males through our open borders. It is frightening. So we see a big contrast on security that way. How about on this issue of nuclear policy? Did you see the strangest thing I think I've ever seen in a headline?
I didn't think you could queer everything, but I think we've done it now. Queering nuclear weapons? Tell me more about that one.
So the headline is Fox News, Biden-Harris Department of Energy official calls for queering nuclear weapons as part of a radical DEI agenda. Biden-Harris official says queer theory is also about rejecting the tenet that nuclear deterrence creates security and disarmament creates vulnerability. Basically, this woman has been put in place, Snea Hare, has been appointed special assistant at the National Nuclear Security Administration. That was this February. Nair believes in eradicating purported white supremacy in the nuclear field and queering nuclear weapons. So you got to make the nuclear weapons queer as part of diversity, equity, inclusion. These are her words. They're not ascribing. I mean, they're not claiming that she believes this. She's saying she believes this.
How do you make a nuclear weapon queer?
I do not know. I don't even want to make a bad joke of that, about that. I'm not even, you know, I'm not a transgender nuclear.
But this is a real position in our federal government right now, correct?
Yes. Yeah. She wants to expand America's deep secrets to people with foreign connections, claiming those individuals were discouraged from applying as an issue of race bias. Now, we don't allow foreign representatives to have access to our nuclear secrets, longstanding American policy, because why would we be give the Iranians our nuclear secrets? So is that a good idea or bad? North Korea, let's give them our nuclear secrets.
It all defies logic.
It does defy logic, but she says it's important for DEI. She said, queer theory also identifies how the nuclear weapons discourse is gendered.
So we do dress them up differently.
Yeah, well, it's how we pronounce it. Hi, I'm your nuclear weapon. My pronouns are she, her.
And Bob, I don't know.
It's just, wow. All right, so, and what she wants to talk about is ending a deterrence policy. So if Russia builds up, China builds up massive nuclear stockpiles, we've answered and said, if you blow up New York City, we'll blow up Moscow. Or if you blow up New York City, we'll blow up Beijing. That's our deterrence. Mm-hmm. It's a mutually assured
peace
destruction.
Strength.
It's been there for a long time. They want to cancel that and actually disarm because it's the queer thing to do.
Well, you know, I saw in the Democratic convention, they were talking about how the Democrats are purposely trying to feminize males more in the Democrat side.
Oh, they're succeeding.
Yes. I think they have been successful out there. So there's less testosterone in men there, and that's what they're trying to show. And I guess they want to do it with their nuclear weapons as well. Now, I don't think that and China, have they got any similar programs over there where they're trying to become a little bit less testosterone, a little less strength?
Or Vladimir Putin, imagine that? You know, so we're just going to take out the uranium or the fissile material out of the nuclear weapons, but we'll just have them. No, it's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. You know, a gun is not male nor female. There are plenty of women that can shoot Annie Oakley and on down that can shoot beautifully. It's not nuclear deterrence. We don't want nice bombs. We drop a bomb and it makes you smile or it makes you gay. I don't. What are they talking about?
Well, I saw Waltz waltzing in on the convention floor at the convention. He seems to have a little spring in his step anyhow. I'm not sure if it's the testosterone issue or trying to prepare us for queer nuclear weapons or what that might be.
Well, in foreign policy terms, here's what I'm concerned about. He visited China so many times, and he's spoken of communism as a good system where everybody shares. And he speaks about it to young people. He's helped drive young people under his care into communism as an educator. What would he do as the vice president of the nation? So I'm worried about Chinese elite capture. I mean, did you see the report out from the House that's caught the Biden administration in taking money from Ukraine, China, and others? I mean, they say they're impeachable offenses.
Yeah, which we've been hearing all along. But now that, Biden's kind of out of office. Well, I guess he's still officially in office, but I hear there's no action that will be taken against that. And it's going to be buried under the carpet like everything else.
They took action against Trump after he had been declared the loser of the election and Biden the winner, and they still impeached him after that. This is, the double standard here is ridiculous. Now, let's hit both parties. The Clintons were a little too pro-China, and the Bushes a little too pro-China. So, I mean, this is that was when we had a uniparty. Yeah. This election, we no longer have a uniparty. There's a difference between, do we believe in, they're calling it Christian nationalism. Remember, Bill Federer was on the program. Yes. He called it Christian patriotism.
Yes.
Right? So do you want the World Health Organization having complete pandemic control and usurping our sovereignty? Do you want the United Nations in charge? Do you want Paris Climate Accords in charge? Do you want the BRICS nations to control the future of our currency? Or do you want America to control those things? If you believe in this as an independent sovereign nation, God Save the Queen for the British, and then America is God Bless America. If you want us to be an independent, sovereign nation, then you'll probably vote Republican. If you want a globalist organization running your life and running everything else, like the European Union that the Brits had to withdraw from, if you want that, then you should vote Democrat, right?
Yeah, although I think it's so clear what normal people would want, which is that freedom and liberty side. You know, I know we're not allowed to take positions here, but man, it sure seems like it's night and day. And I sure hope it doesn't come down to, but you know, I just don't like Trump's style. So I don't know if I can vote for him. I've heard people in the Christian world talking that way. And if they understand what these difference in ideology really is, I think it becomes clear.
Go back to the Old Testament prophets. I've been reading through Jeremiah. That guy was harsh. He was hard, difficult. It's always true that men are flawed. David was flawed. Men are flawed. I'm not saying Trump is our savior, but I'm saying his policies lay out a whole different course. And one other area before the break, Israel.
Yes.
The Trump side will be more pro-Israel, and the Harris side is definitely more pro-Hamas, Gaza, Palestinian. You know, there's some element. I think it's a stark difference. I think we're seeing a stark difference on economic issues, on security issues, and we're going to be talking values issues when we come back after the break. But you've got to vote your values, what you believe in this upcoming election, most important election of our lifetimes. We'll be back after the break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
We've been comparing the two platforms, the Democrat versus the Republican, the Harris positions versus the Trump positions. And I'm going to have to interject this. We've covered liberty, we've covered security, now we're talking values. I saw a headline in Moscow Times that floored me. Putin signs decree granting residency to foreigners who share traditional values. It just shocked me. He's appealing to those that are feeling rejected by Biden, Harris, and say, hey, move to Russia and we will give you traditional Western civilization Christian values.
I never thought that there would be the perception that there could be more freedoms in Russia than there is in America. And now, I think there's still perceptions, but the fact that he's making this declaration and there's people that are saying, hey, this might not be a bad idea is another, again, it's hard to believe
we're living in the real world. There are families moving there, and I tell you it's because of the media portrayal of what America is not that. America is a liberty-loving, freedom-loving country where we still believe in God. We still share common values with our neighbors, but the media is telling us otherwise. Putin's trying to exploit that and take advantage of it on the values issues like life and LGBTQ and education and DEI and religious liberty and all of those things. I don't believe for a second that Vladimir Putin is offering more of those, but I think he sees an opening and sees a lot of Americans disillusioned because the media keeps telling them lies.
That's what's happening.
So here are some of the value issues we can talk about and compare and contrast. Which party is pro-life and which party is pro-choice? Is it clear?
Is that a question?
Yeah.
Yes, it's clear. And I'm going to choose life on every one of these.
Okay, so pro-life. God said in Deuteronomy, I lay before you a choice, a blessing and a curse, life and death. Choose life. But the Democrat Party, I mean, at the convention, they had vans going around. You could get your vasectomy or you could get your DNC or abortion right there in Chicago, provided free.
And proud of it.
Yeah, very proud of it. I also saw a pretty funny clip where Steve Cortez tried to take a Venezuelan who's here, undocumented, let's use that term, and he tried to get him inside the convention so he could hear his heroes, political heroes, and they wouldn't let him in. He had no documentation.
They wanted an ID.
Yeah, they had a border wall, and they had security, and they took him to try and get him the ID and stuff. They wouldn't let him. They threw him out. They escorted them out with a police escort.
Different sets of rules for everybody.
Exactly. Well, they don't care how many people come across the border and threaten your security. They just want their security to be maintained. All right, life is just so obvious. I don't want to even bother spending too much time on it. Let's talk next the LGBTQ drag queen idea. When you have biologist Richard Dawkins, who is a, well, he's an atheist. He says his Facebook nuked his account because he posted that male boxers shouldn't fight women. Now, why is that a controversial
issue? That's a big stretch, of a hypothesis there, huh?
Yeah. Richard Dawkins is, you know, he's well-known scientist. I admire him for speaking the truth here. Male boxers should not be beating up women. We throw people in jail for that. And yet he posted that on Facebook and they tried to take him down. Which party is in favor of drag queen story hour, LGBTQ down to, you know, age six or whatever? And which side is saying, hey, look, we respect your dignity and you have a right to your life, but we don't want to promote it onto our children. Which is
I mean, well, obviously the Democrats, the D stands for drag queen, and the Republicans are on the other side of that.
Yeah. So I think that's all right. How about education? That's another values issue. Should we allow pornography in the schools? Or the Democrats would say Republicans are book banners, and Republicans would say
That's what I was just going to say, you know, in the convention, because that was the last one I saw. It's still fresh in my mind. That's all they talked about was, well, they've shifted the narrative all of a sudden. If you notice this, they're talking about freedom now. Because they're trying to figure out what messaging works or doesn't work, but it's about freedom. And so now we're for your freedom to be able to have books in schools and not ban books. But they don't talk about the books that they really want in the schools. The stuff that's quite honestly shocking that I don't think...
rewires your brain. Yes, psychologists will say if you get hooked on pornography at a young age, you have sexual problems the rest of your life. Pornography is an evil. It is not something those who set their mind on the things above find life and peace. If you set your mind on the things of the earth, it's death. Pornography is the things of the earth, no question about it, and yet they want to put them. Now, by contrast, can we allow Bible in the schools, or do the Democrats want to ban the Bible?
Oh, no, I'm sure that's a hate book that they didn't bring up that they wanted that in the schools.
Yeah, so pornography, yes. Bible, no. Ron Paul Institute had an article on that. Buy a Bible, become a terror suspect. Blaze Media says the real reason why leftists don't want the Bible taught in schools, essentially they want to control the education of our youth. Values issue, life or death, you got to choose. And if you want pornography in schools or books that are racy in the schools that you don't want your kids to read, I don't want my kids reading, grandkids, whatever. But there are people who do.
You see these school board meetings when the parents will come in and start reading what's in the books in front of the school board, and they censor them and say, you can't read that. That's not allowed. They haul them out of the session, but yet they allow it to happen in the schools every day. I mean, it's a double standard that makes no sense.
It is, absolutely. All right, so entertainment, another thing, do you want to see woke films or do you want to see family values films? I saw Twisters the other day. You absolutely loved the Reagan movie. It took me back, harkened me back to good all-American values. Those are the ones that do well at the box office. Then they make this woke nonsense garbage. But I'll tell you who favors that, and that you see the actors, the producers, and everything that make that nonsense, and you see them standing up on the stage of the Democratic Party.
Yeah. In the meantime, we're seeing the whole entertainment industry movie revenues dropping drastically because they're pushing an agenda and not what the consumer wants.
Absolutely. All right, so let's go down to what the media is doing to us. Kamala Harris getting overwhelming positive media coverage since emerging as a nominee. It's a study of Media Research Center. She's had 84% positive media coverage. Trump's 89% negative media coverage. That's an independent study by the Media Research Center. And, you know, this is a big contrast to what it used to be. We've got a clip here of how the media used to talk about Harris. I mean, just months ago. Let's roll that clip and see what the media used to say, and then we'll talk about what they're saying now.
Americans really aren't happy with this vice president, Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris has an approval rating of 28%, which makes no sense because she basically has nothing to do. I mean, it's like criticizing a backup quarterback. Tom Brady's okay. I don't love the way Blaine Gabbert has his legs folded on the bench. I have to be honest. Kamala's approval rating of 28% is even lower than the 30% who approved of Dick Cheney in 2008 after he shot a guy in the face. Kamala Harris's approval rating is now at 28%, which is an historic low for any modern vice president.
She may not be polling well with her baby. mistakes, but at least she didn't shoot an old man in the face.
Excellent point.
Now, if Biden do not run, the next person in line would obviously be Vice President Kamala Harris, only one teensy problem. I agree. Lovely, lovely person. One problem, last week her approval dipped to 28%. To put that into perspective, the movie Batman versus Superman has an approval rating of 29%. So Kamala Harris is 1% less popular than watching 2.5 hours of Batman and Superman wrestle each other, then realize their moms have the same first name, so they decide to be friends.
The worst president that we have seen in modern history. He has the lowest approval rating in modern history. Kamala Harris has the lowest approval rating for any vice president
this is
in
CNN.
The history of this country. And Dick Cheney shot somebody. That's how bad she's doing. Okay.
Well, it is bad news. I mean, CNN according again. To the latest polls, USA Today and Suffolk University, Vice President Kamala Harris, her approval rating is under 28%. And the president himself is just slightly above that, under 38%.
Without any change in policies, without any actual talking to the American people or interviews or whatever, all of a sudden everybody loves Harris. You know, the media is trying to lie to us and tell us that she's the most popular candidate ever. And just like they lied to us about how bad Trump is when they loved Trump before he ran in back in 2015. Play that clip.
Haven't they? Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Speaking of doing a fantastic job, you are setting the world on fire right now.
Well, we're having a lot of fun, and I think we're hitting some pretty good issues, Stephen. And
I want to thank you not only for being here, I want to thank you for running for president.
This is Late Show. Late Show.
2016.
I'm not going to say.
2015.
I'm not going to say this stuff writes itself.
But Hampshire and Iowa, no matter where we go, it seems that the response, it just gets better and better. And the polls have been phenomenal.
You see Zogby?
Zogby was great.
33%. That came out today, right? Zogby, 33%. Incredible. I'm not surprised at all. I'll tell you why. Is because
I'm liking him a lot.
No, I'm not. I'm liking you, too. I'm liking you, too. I'm not surprised at all, because especially in the Republican field, because
we have a country, we have to create. Number one, we're going to build a wall. Number two, we're going to.
Okay.
Oh, listen to this. Even with your crowd, I hear.
No,
that.
They love.
But
they,
we want.
They love the wall.
No.
People love the wall. Well, Donald Trump, thank you so much
for
being
Stephen.
Here.
Good luck.
Donald Trump is the leader for the Republican nomination. We'll be right back.
All right. So they love Trump. And then he ran, and his party, the platform, everything else the left opposes, the media opposes, and so they've literally told us, oh no, Harris is popular and Trump is unpopular. It's a lie. They're lying to us.
Imagine running that handicap though, 89% negative publicity if you're Trump and 84 positive for Kamala Harris.
And statistically tied when that came out. All right, so what do we do about this? There are three things I'm going to suggest. You need to pray. That's the number one thing. The Bible tells us to choose life or death. That's Deuteronomy 30:19. So pray. Second thing is vote and get everyone you know to vote. Vote their values. Vote what they believe in. And third thing is make sure your investments line up with your values. That's why we train advisors at the NSIC. This is Pirate Money Radio. We're trying to promote liberty, security, and values. Vote your values. This is Kevin Freeman. We'll see you next week.